Thank you for today. Thank you for everything you give us and the love that you show us every day. Thank you for the people who are here and for those who weren't able to make it. We just pray that they're doing well and traveling mercies if they're gone or whatever reason they're gone, Lord. We pray for those who do not know you, and we pray that they get to know you. And we pray that your word be spoken here today, Lord. Not mine, but yours. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so this morning we're in Colossians, as we've been in Colossians for a little bit now. But we're going to be in chapter 3, right? Now, what details, I know, Lily, you haven't been here in a little bit, but what details can anybody tell me about the Colossians, the people we're talking about? Huh?
I have the children's Bible. It's pictures and storybooks for children, little children.
Oh, huh?
Then
you'd be able to tell us exactly what they look like, right? Because you have pictures. No, but any details? I'm not looking for the hour-long detail, but just quick details, what we know about these people.
They're in the world.
They're in the world, yes.
They are having struggles with false prophets.
Right. Definitely, yeah.
It's like a big problem that they're having.
Right. Right, they are. Throughout the chapter, Paul always talks about all that. Any other details? Are they church-going people?
Yes, but they're like only certain people get into heaven, like because of like Jewish
people. Well, those are the false teachers telling people that, oh no, you need to do this, and they were changing the gospel. They were changing the gospel to what they want. But would you say these people who are saved, that were they saved? Kind of. And it is not up to us to judge if they're saved or not. But we have that feeling that they are saved, right? Because they're going to church. Because the only reason they'd be listening to this letter at this time is that they were attending a church, because the letter was read to a church congregation, right? So we're going to assume that these people were saved, right? And that's who Paul is addressing. He's addressing people who are saved. And the reason I bring this up is Paul is not telling the Colossians, or giving the Colossians a new letter of the old covenant. You know, he's not saying, oh, well, you need to do this. Because Paul's not saying, because he's always been saying, that no, it's not about the law. It's about Jesus. It's about that relationship with Jesus. It's not about keeping the law. Keeping the law doesn't make you saved. You know, obeying the rules does not bring salvation. Those who are saved ought to live worthy of that salvation, though, right? We should be wanting to be worthy of that salvation that we have. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 5 and 6, Lily, can you read that?
Not that we are
sufficient
of otherwise to think of any as being from ourselves, but our
sufficiency. Covenant.
What?
Covenant.
Covenant. Not the letter, but of the spirit of the letter kills.
So when, and this is Paul again, but when he says letter, what do you think he's talking about? The letter. The Bible. No. Have you ever heard of the letter of the law? Never heard that terminology. It's an old term, and I'm old, so I've heard it. So the letter of the law, that's just a way they say is like you're following every letter. You're following every little dot, little punctuation, commandment. The letter of the law is that you're following it completely. So he's talking about the law. The law kills, but the Spirit gives life. You're following the law, it can be hard, right? No doubt, it can be hard. You know, because, why? Is because we're alone. We're doing it on our own power. We're alone in that. But following the Spirit, we have somebody there to help us. You know, we have somebody in our corner. Not saying it's don't be a cakewalk, because we all know whenever we bake a cake, there's a few eggs that get broken. Thanks.
Oh. Just,
Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, 9 and 10. Cassia. Right? Life is not easy. However, it can be easier. It's not easy. It'll never be easy, but it can be easier. It can become easier because of who you know. Throughout life, it's on who you know. Who's your friend? Who's going to help you out? Colossians chapter 3. Through 4.
If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is you, our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory.
Now there's a term, you'll live for. What, have you ever heard that term? Or is that just something?
Yes.
No. Okay. You know, it's kind of like a musician lives for music. You know, a social butterfly lives for their friends. You know, an artist lives for creating something. And then during winter, there are those who live for snowboarding, right? You know, the list can go on and on. Yet, as Christians, our hope should be that people, when they look at us, that they think of, we live for what? We live for Jesus, right? They should. We would want hope. What we focus on is that's where we're going to spend our blood, sweat, and tears. Meaning everything we have, you know, putting effort in. That's where we focus on. That's what we put towards in our life, right? Now, if we're raised with Christ, meaning that we believe in him, we're trusting in him, believing that he died for our sins and raised from the dead, giving us that way that we were able to be saved, and now that Jesus is sitting on the right hand of God. Sorry to all the lefties, but the right hand has always been pictured as the power, right? The right hand of God would be his power.
I don't know why that is. because it's a sign of disrespect in like Middle Eastern cultures.
Really? I have not ever heard that.
Like you don't put it up in left hand like way high. It's
always high. You know, there's a lot of things. Yeah, people in other cultures, yeah, like high fives, that's not good, or thumbs up's not good. It's weird. I mean, it's weird for us, but if you were growing up there, it'd be like normal. That's we should be focused on Christ. To an unbeliever, Christ is hidden from them. Is hitting that they can't see him. You know, the world does not understand why somebody would believe. As Christians, we live for Christ, and where he is, that's where we should be also. Because that's our life we've chosen, right? As a Christian, we choose a life. We chose to follow Jesus. That's where we should be, is where he is. In Colossians chapter 3, 5 through 7, Michelle? Put to death your members. All right? Paul is not suggesting that there are certain members of the church that should be lining up in front of a firing squad. Right? He's not. That's not what he's not talking about the literal members of the church. But he's talking about us. He's talking about the parts of us, our spiritual parts of us that we need to get rid of. You know, we need to kill, we need to bury in a tomb, deep in a tomb. We can't be sending flowers, having good thoughts about them, going visiting. They're gone, getting completely, utterly rid of. That's what Paul is talking about. Now, one of the tough questions an unbeliever more than likely will ask you, if they haven't already asked you, is why a God of love had the Jews kill so many people in the Old Testament. You know, obviously different times back then. You know, that's for sure. And people definitely seemed more ruthless the way they handled things. And it's kill or be killed type of situation. You know, and I could get that because I've studied and know that's how the whole culture was. Yet it's not a great answer. You know, it's not a great answer, and it's not the answer they want. You know, it's hard to explain. There are certain things about the Bible it's hard to explain to a non-believer, because those things are hidden from them. You know, something that helped me, I don't know if that's something that anybody's ever struggled with, but something that's helped me is I was listening to a sermon one day, and they were talking about the Israelites. They were crossing over the Jordan. So that is the river, you know, separating them from the Promised Land. So they're crossing the Jordan and going into the Promised Land. You know, the lesson compared talking to going to the Promised Land as comparing it as receiving Jesus or bringing Jesus into their life, accepting Jesus, right? So the crossing of the Jordan would be putting our trust in and believing the promise. Right? You're going over a river, you're going through dangerous, but you're trusting in him. And then the Promised Land is that life with Jesus. And now the lesson didn't actually go there, but I got thinking. In the Promised Land, was full of evil things. Evil things everywhere. Evil things against God. Things were happening all over the place. You know, and then there was definitely huge things, big red flags that had to go, right? No question, had to go. And then there were some smaller things. You know, some smaller things you might, that's not a really big deal. It's little, I mean, it's innocent. You know, it could be hard. You may not want to get rid of certain things, yet we should. Unchecked, those little things can grow into big things. We need to put to death the things that take our focus off Jesus. Now, Paul's first list, so this is his list, right? He has a list. These are things we should get rid of. It includes sexual immorality, self-centeredness, and, of course, pride. You know, these are the big things, right? The things, kind of no-brainer. These are, yeah, we could all agree. Yeah, it's definitely we should get rid of. You know, Paul reminds them that these things people do out there, you know, that it also was something that they've done. That they're all guilty of something similar. You know, Jesus did not have these things in his life, and neither should we. If we continue in doing these sort of things, we are asking for judgment to come upon us, and that judgment will happen someday. Colossians chapter 3, 8 in 10. Huh? 10. 8, 9, and 10. Can you read that?
But now ourselves are to put all things, anger,
wrath,
malice,
blasphemy.
Image of him who created him.
Did awesome. So Paul's first list was the big things, right? You know, the no-brainers. You know, the ones we know we need to get rid of. This second list, one might say, getting angry. Cursing, everybody does that. Everybody nowadays does it. It's not a big deal. Huh?
Even a baby.
Even babies. Even babies do it. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Cassia? So Christians are to be set apart from the world. You know, putting off the old man and putting on the new man. It's saying that we're done with the world, we're putting off the old man, done with the world, and we're done with that past, and we're going to follow Jesus, the new man, you know, following Jesus, the present and the future. You, we may live in this world, but we should have a different walk than the world. So, I thought of this, And hopefully this goes well. But so, if this was our life, right? And we need a little bit things in our life, right? And then there's a little bit of emptiness, right? Soul-crushing emptiness in our life. And then there's a little things. Things get in the way, right? It doesn't take much, does it? It doesn't take much. So just a little bit. Huh? But then if you shake it up, oh, that probably doesn't work that well. So just pour the whole thing in there. It's still little, right? I thought of this and I did not test it. But I should have tested it. I should have just got dirt. I've done this with dirt, but that's coffee actually. So it's pretty filthy, right? So that's our life as an unbeliever, right? But how do we get rid of that?
Filter it out.
Filter out. Yes. You empty it. But then there's that soul crushing of emptiness, right? So if we put more of Jesus in, right? Overflowing. You could tell it's already cleaner, right? And we just keep on filling it, focusing more and more. Drinkable, right? Almost. But that's Jesus in our life. He overflows and he just keeps going and he gets rid of the things we focus on is how our life's going to be. If we keep focusing on, I told you nobody was going to get except for maybe me. But we get rid of it, and there's no more. No more dirt. No more delicious coffee. There's Folgers? It is Folgers. I like Folgers. Colossians chapter 3, verse 11. Max.
Sicilian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Scythian.
That's right. Scythians? Scythian. Now, these groups do not normally travel in the same circles. That's Paul getting at. Have you ever noticed that high school has cliques? I don't know if you've never noticed it.
Never noticed.
Really? Your high school must be a lot nicer than mine.
No, dude, there's the Mormon group, and then there's
which is a large
huge group. There's a Catholic group. And then there was like,
we had groups, but I think they call them different things nowadays. But there's because nowadays they have the hippie group, right? And then there's the
no.
No?
Not here.
Oh.
There's like the LGBTQ group.
Yeah. Our group was much smaller back in our day, but then there's, yes.
It's also in middle school.
Right. It's all throughout school. There's nerds, the jocks, obviously. There's.
At my school that I've been going to, there's the bad group, like the people that do the bad stuff, the group that
right.
A group that just blocks people out, doesn't care about anybody but the people in the group, and the nice group.
Right. You know, there's obviously some some people from each group, they can be in different groups, but it's kind of rare. Usually groups are, you know, don't mingle, if you will. But imagine what Paul is talking about is that these groups, the groups that he's talking about, are ultra sensitive, meaning that they have bad blood between them, meaning that they hate each other, that to the point that a fight could break out any minute. Those type of groups. But to Paul's point is that Jesus is the same to each one of these people. It doesn't matter the group. He has the same promise. He has the same love for each one of them. You know, that person the Colossians hate, what live across town, they absolutely hate them. Jesus loves them. He loves them just as much as he loves the Colossians. You know, if the Colossians died with Jesus and rose with him, their life is with Jesus or for Jesus, if Jesus loves that person, how can the Colossians hate him? So what does this new man look like? Colossians 3, 12 and 13. Michelle?
Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do.
As always, Jesus is the best and perfect example. As he is being crucified, you know, the amount of hate that must have outbalanced the love in that group, what was watching him get crucified. Yet Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." You know, that'd be crazy. There's no way that I'd be able to do that. Right? I'm being crucified because of these people, and yet I want God to forgive them. Tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiveness. That is what the new man looks like. Colossians chapter 3, 14 and 15, literally.
But all above these things, put on love, which is bond and perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful.
So love is the bond of perfection, right? The glue that holds things together. Who here has ever used glue?
Never in my life.
Never in your life. I am shocked by that. So, Cassia, if you are gluing a project that you've never used glue before, right? What would you think would happen if your two pieces that you're trying to glue together has a whole bunch of dirt on it?
I don't think they'd stick.
You don't think they'd stick. They definitely wouldn't bond as well, right?
Yeah, they'd probably
fall apart. So if you were anybody but me and reads instructions before you do things, but if you look at the bottle, I would guarantee when they talk about applying glue, they would say, clean surface before applying. The dirt helps it bond.
Yeah.
That's a completely different, that's not glue, that was mud.
See, glue and dirt mixed together, mud.
No, glue is what's supposed to bond things together. There's not supposed to be anything between the glue and the two products, right? So, cleaning the surface first before gluing. Colossians chapter 3, 16 and 17. Cassia? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Richly meaning that abundantly, overflowing, kind of like that water is overflowing, right? Let your focus be on the things that are above. You know, the world is full of big, big, huge problems. It's also full of small problems. You know, the thing is, when we're walking through our life, it doesn't matter about the size. There are certain things that are easier to fix than others. You know, sometimes people struggle with this one problem. It could be small, yet somebody else doesn't struggle with it. And vice versa. You know, because we're all unique. But we have that same common fact that we need help in certain areas. Matthew 26, verse 41. Max?
Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.
For sure, the flesh is weak. You know, that is why the spirit is there to help us. That is why we need the Spirit. That's why we need Jesus. It's because the flesh is weak. You know, those people who were crossing the Jordan and going to the Promised Land, they were doing it on their power, you know, trying to follow the law. They needed to be following more of God. You know, that's why our focus should be more on the things above. They should be focused on the spirit than of the flesh. Cassia, can you close this in prayer?